today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
A seed is ready to go, ready to produce fruit. It just needs the right soil, the right environment. In fact, a seed, as small as it might be, if it's planted, say, near concrete, or even if there's concrete over it, that seed can search and become so powerful that it can actually crack or find weaknesses and crack concrete. That's how powerful that little seed is.
When the Word of God falls into the soil of a prepared, ready, and willing heart, it produces something after its own kind. It doesn't just produce a better person. It produces a kingdom person, a person who's committed to expanding the kingdom of God. The power in this kind of seed only needs fertile ground so it can grow. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, as we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, How's Your Spiritual Hearing?
We sang the song, I think it was the song Stronger, and one of the lines in there says, and if our God is for us, then who could be against us, basically? And the answer is this, no one except us can be against us. If God is for you, no one can come against you, but you can be the one who prevents God's work from being done in you. And it all boils down to your willingness to hear Him, your willingness to listen to Him. And that is tied directly to the condition of your heart. And that's the point of this first parable. It's a point, it's a major point for sure, but there's more to it than that. There's something He's communicating, secrets hidden from the beginning. Now, when we hear it, it's not new to us because it's been passed down by these guys. They were standing there and it was the first time they'd ever heard some of this stuff, these ideas. But they passed their faith on and they passed their faith on, and the fruit that sprung up from their lives produced more fruit. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's what is going on here. Jesus is talking about the very, very beginning of the kingdom. The kingdom was one of Jesus' favorite subjects. He spoke of it often. He referred to it all the time. His first teaching was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Sermon on the Mount, he begins, behold, the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes into the kingdom ethics. What it's like to live in the kingdom, be a part of the kingdom, to view things, the perspective of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 24, he speaks of the coming kingdom, the fact that it will physically come. And when he rose from the dead, in Acts chapter 1, it says that he showed himself alive with many infallible proofs, and he spoke pertaining the things of the kingdom of God. The kingdom. It was one of Jesus' favorite subjects, and it is what we're living out right now. When he speaks of the kingdom, and we talk about the kingdom parables, he's not, in these kingdom parables, he's not speaking of what it's like in heaven. He's teaching us what's going on right now on earth in building up the kingdom of heaven. How it looks, what's going on. We're going to find out some very interesting things. We're going to look at interpretations of a couple of these parables that are probably, I would say, very unlikely to be the interpretation, although many embrace those interpretations, but how they don't necessarily fit into everything that Jesus is communicating in the scriptures as a whole and in these parables as a whole altogether. So here we have the first of what is called the kingdom parables. And it seems that he's speaking above some, although he's not. It's really a matter of their heart. But he speaks directly to those who have the spiritual ears to hear. Those who want to hear, in other words, can. But those who don't want to hear, they won't. He doesn't begin this one with "the kingdom of heaven is like." But you notice after this one, he begins on the beginning of each parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like." Up until you get to the very last one, and we'll explain what that one means and why. But the reason he doesn't begin this one with "the kingdom of heaven is like" is because this is the initiation of the kingdom of heaven as he begins it here on earth. So it says that he basically, someone went out and sowed some seeds, and he's going to explain to us who that is and what the seed is. And it's the very beginning of the kingdom of heaven right here. And we'll make that very clear as he makes it pretty clear, I think, later on in our text. So verse 1 says, "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea." Now, on the same day is what? We got to look back at our last chapter, and we see that event that we discussed last time, where Jesus' mom and his brothers came, and they said to Jesus, as he's preaching and he's teaching, "Hey, your mom is outside. Your mom wants you." And Jesus basically said, "Who are my mother, my brothers, my sisters? Who are they?" He said, "It's those here, those who do the will of my Father. They are my brother, my mother, my sisters." The lesson we learned is that from Jesus' perspective and from heaven's perspective and the kingdom's perspective, we all come from an earthly environment, lost, separated from our Father in heaven. But when we receive Christ, or when we enter the kingdom, everything changes. Every relationship that seemed important out here, we find is not the main focus. It's not the most important thing, as the relationships and the community and the goals and agendas of the kingdom. So there's a separation. And he makes it very clear when he addresses his mom. It's not being disrespectful. It's being truthful that he says, "Who are my mother, my brother, my sisters?" And so now he begins to turn his attention toward teaching them about the kingdom. But he speaks in parables. In verse 2, he says, "And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore." Now, this is just some context, but Jesus intends to share this information. This isn't private information. That's why he's getting in the boat, backing away. Because when you walk around in any land, right now we have iPods and we have no clue about real acoustics unless you go to sound school, and then they think you need the booth and all this stuff and the right microphone, the bouncing. But in Jesus' time, they didn't have all of that. So they knew the lay of the land very well. And they knew where voices carried and where voices didn't carry. So they would actually look for spots. And after a while of living there and growing up and having mom and dad teach you, this is the best place to communicate, and seeing the rabbis and teachers communicate, they knew where the best spots were to teach. And so he pushes himself out, because water, on water, sound bounces. You know, you go out into the middle of a lake or something, hello, and you hear the echoes and it reverberates. And so that he could broadcast his message and speak to everyone, he does this. He pushes out so the multitudes could hear them, because there were so many. The idea is this, and he says later, "I speak in parables because they won't all understand." But the idea is he wants them all to hear. So he goes out. And he says, verse 3, "He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, the parable that we have just read is a key parable for understanding as we go forward in the rest of the parables, especially the kingdom parables. He sets some precedents, some key ideas that we need to grasp so that we can rightly unlock the other parables. In Mark chapter 4, Mark also mentions this parable, but he also shows that the disciples said, Jesus, we don't understand what you said. We don't understand this parable. And in Mark's gospel, Jesus replies to them and says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? So we see he's establishing here some ideas that we need to carry through. We can't just decide everything means something and whatever I want it to mean. We need to begin to understand. So one thing we see is the seed, which we learn represents the Word of God. Why is the Word of God likened unto a seed? Well, because they're very similar. Both have life contained in themselves. A seed is ready to go, ready to produce fruit. It just needs the right soil, the right environment. In fact, a seed, as small as it might be, if it's planted, say, near concrete, or even if there's concrete over it, that seed can search and become so powerful that it can actually crack or find weaknesses and crack concrete. That's how powerful that little seed is. In the same way, the Word of God contains in itself life, life that produces. A seed produces after its own kind, right? You plant an orange seed, you don't get apples. You're going to get oranges. And the same is true with the Word of God. When the Word of God falls into the soil of a prepared and ready and willing heart, it produces something. And it produces something after its own kind. It doesn't just produce a better person. It produces a kingdom person. One who is committed to the kingdom. One who is bearing fruit for the kingdom. One whose work is to expand the kingdom. That's what it produces. It's amazing the power of a seed. All it needs is fertile soil to produce something powerful. And the same is true for the Word of God. The Word of God is being cast. And it's being cast out everywhere. You know, later on, as we look at the parables, we'll see that there's this idea that the seed is not just being cast here, put one here, put one here, put one here. It's cast everywhere. There's potential for fruit and for growth, for that ground to receive it everywhere. The problem is, much of the ground won't, or some of the ground that does will allow it to be choked out and it produces nothing, or things come into the life and just burn it out completely so that it doesn't live at all. So the seed is the Word of God. There's a parable that many misunderstand. I want to talk about it while we're talking about seed. It's the wheat and the tares. And so they see the sower and he sows and the wheat grows up. And so, God plants people in the world that are good people. And then an enemy comes and he plants bad people. But that is not at all what that's about. The seed is the Word of God. So the seed falls on the soil and it produces people who produce fruit, people who are in the world. Whereas an enemy comes along and sows bad seed, we could say false doctrine, worldly philosophy, those kinds of things, and it causes growth there too, so that they're side by side, living together, very often in the church together, but it isn't something that's right or true. And we're going to find out over the course of a few parables that Jesus is teaching us something that is pretty amazing that he knew that well in advance. So there's the seed. Then the sower is Jesus. He's the one who initiates. Now we said that this is the first parable, the first of the kingdom parables. And so Jesus is the sower. We didn't create the gospel. We didn't invent it. It had to be spread. It had to be started somewhere. Jesus will define himself later on as he explains this parable as the sower. He sows it out and he sows it on all sorts of hearts so that some will produce and continue the work. In fact, some of you, if you're saved today, you owe the disciples who stood before Jesus on this day receiving the gospel, who it bore fruit in their heart and they shared it somewhere else as it began to spread, and then it shared and they shared it. You owe some of your thanks to the seed that bore fruit, as some of them were standing right here before Jesus hearing this. And we can give thanks to those who bore fruit. And now it's your turn. It doesn't stop here. Now you're called to bear fruit. If the seed of God's word has come into your life, it's going to produce fruit after its own kind. It's going to come forth. And from you now, you're going to begin to spread that good news, that gospel of the kingdom of heaven, of salvation. Then there's the soil. Now that's the big limiter. That's the limiting factor. The seed is all good, but it can be the soil that hinders the growth. And we're going to look at four types of soil in this parable. In fact, right now in this room, there are four types of soil. The thing about the soil is it has to be prepared. We have to be willing to listen. The soil has to be prepared. It has to be tended to if it's going to produce fruit. Now, what that says to me is this. When God's word falls in your heart, it'll produce fruit. It'll produce fruit naturally. However, there's work that you need to do to tend to that. You can't just forget about it. You must take it, embrace it, take it in, maybe smooth a little of the nutrients of the soil over it to guard it, to keep it from being snatched away. You got to meditate on it, the scriptures talk about. Find out what it is that God's saying. And then as it begins to grow, there's water that's necessary. We take in the Word of God. We're directed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the life of somebody who's given in to the kingdom of heaven. We're taking in His Word. We're taking in that seed, and we're always allowing it to do its work and to produce change, transformation in us. We need it. It's alive and active. It says God's Word is alive and active like a double-edged sword, piercing and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, when a plant is in soil, it's got to be good soil. But you also can't continue to take a plant and dig it up and move it, and then dig it up and move it, and dig it up and move it. It will die. Now, I'm saying that specifically because there are some individuals, some people out there who they never find a home fellowship. They never find a place to plant themselves. They're always on the move. It is very hard to grow when you're always on the move and you're never consistent. We need consistency for ourselves to grow. So I want to encourage you, if you are one of those, you're looking for a home fellowship, looking for a church to call home, find a place where you feel like you can be taught. Find a place where you believe, all right, God speaks to me here. I can grow here, and plant yourself. If it's here, great. Welcome. If it's somewhere else, then plant yourself and grow. But it takes time, because I learned something from my wife. I didn't know you could kind of transplant bushes at all, but she told me you could. Whether you could or not, she told me to transplant the bush. So I did it. So I moved this bush and I plant it somewhere else. And it starts to die. And I think, well, see, you can't plant those things somewhere else. But she explained to me that they go through shock. So there's a shock value, but then it begins to thrive based upon the soil again and the environment, the conditions. It roots itself. It's established. And then only once it's established does it begin to grow again and thrive. But it must be established. We go through a similar shock. When you're like hopping the churches and stuff, you go through and, oh, where's the children's ministry? Where's that? What do they do? How do they do it here? How do they teach it? And how's the worship? And okay, you settle in. And by then, everybody, they're ready to move on again. And I think one of the reasons they won't be committed is they like the honeymoon period. When you're the new person, everybody's on you. How are you? Are you new? Yeah. Oh, we love. Oh, come back. We love the new person. Yeah. I'm the new guy. They haven't said hi to me in a long time. I I need to go be the new guy again somewhere. But the problem with that is it's a deception because you never really grow. Think about it. I mean, just think about it logically, reasonably. If your craving is to always have all the attention on you, there's something wrong. At some point, we do need to be established, to grow, to let people get in and know us and to see those blind spots and to help us to grow. That's what the body of Christ really helps us to do. The water begins to come in. The root system begins to establish itself. And we really need that. And we need our hearts prepared to come to church so that we're ready to minister. We come, I know, we need to be ministered to. We come and we take our breath. Oh boy, it's so good to be around the Lord and to worship. But you know, someone may need you also. We need to be prepared to not just grab fruit, but to produce it so that someone else can benefit from what's gone on in our life. So the soil is very important. It needs to be prepared. Three-fourths of the conditions here bore no fruit. Three of the four conditions spoken about bore none. So what does that mean for us? Here's what we can take. Jesus and the kingdom of heaven isn't impressed with just being a good person, being nice, saying hallelujah or amen. He's looking for fruit. The key here is it produced fruit, and that was the good soil. So we want to check ourselves to find out, are we producing good fruit? Not just good fruit, like good things. I mean fruit that is building up the kingdom of heaven, that has as its emphasis the kingdom of heaven. Is that coming forth from our lives? Because really, we can take good things and things that I want to do and say, well, look, I'm representing the Lord. I'm doing good things. And my business is, you know, I have a scripture at the bottom of our website. So I'm ministering to people. And really, it's just a front saying, well, see, I have fruit. But no lives are being transformed. No one looks to you and says, man, how do I have a marriage like yours? How do I get my home in order like yours? That's what I'm talking about. The kingdom of heaven, when it falls into a heart that's listening and willing, produces natural fruit. We all have our areas of weakness. We're not all perfect in every area, but fruit is produced and is produced naturally. Verse 10, the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. See what he's revealing in these parables? The mysteries of heaven, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So he's speaking in parables because those who understand will get it. Those who are willing to accept it will get it. But others who, they'll just say, I don't get it. I don't understand what he's talking about. He's just blabbering. And it's not a picture of Jesus' ability to communicate. He's saying this is a condition of the heart. Someone who can hear the message will hear it. Someone whose heart is in the right place will understand it. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.